Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all again after 3 months. And a good morning to all those worshippers on Facebook Live. Today's message, entitled Abide Under the Shadow of the Almighty from Psalm 91, is a continuation of last week's message. Psalm 91 is perhaps one of the most beautifully composed and popular psalms. It is a psalm revealing God's unfailing, unshakable, and powerful protection of His people. It is a psalm of encouragement and prayer, a psalm that gives us confidence as we face the difficulties around us. In these uncertain, fearful, and difficult times, we need such a psalm. We live in uncertain times, the last days. The whole world, including Australia, is going through a very difficult and trying period. Just in Australia alone, there were catastrophic bushfires starting from June last year till January this year, which caused injuries and loss of human lives, destruction to endangered wildlife, environment and buildings, deterioration of the economy, loss of jobs and many businesses. And even half of Kangaroo Island was destroyed. The bushfires were actually within a few kilometres from the outskirts of our city, Adelaide. Then there were damaging storms in December 2019, which caused floods in Brisbane and the Gold Coast. And in January this year, the Australian Capital Territory and parts of the states of Victoria and New South Wales were struck by destructive storms. Then this was followed by the coronavirus disease, COVID-19 pandemic, and the first case was confirmed on Australia Day, 26th of January. This highly contagious disease first appeared in Wuhan City in Hubei Province, China, at the end of 2019, and has since spread to most countries, including Australia. The numbers of those infected and those who died have increased alarmingly. As of last night, the 13th of June, there were about 7.5 million people confirmed to have COVID-19 and about 418,000 deaths from this infection worldwide. In Australia alone, 7,287 people had this infection, and there were 102 deaths. This pandemic has resulted in a lockdown and quarantine of regions, cities and towns and countries. Many businesses have to close, some permanently. Jobs were lost and may never be regained. People are encouraged not to go out or even have family gatherings. Even places of worship have to close or restricted in the number of people that can gather. Many missionaries are unable to do their gospel work because of travel and gathering restrictions. Offerings in churches, especially in third world countries, have dropped significantly, and this affects pastors' ministries. Even in our church, we have to go online on Facebook for our work, our Lord's Day worship services. Sunday school and prayer meetings, Bible study, fellowship activities, and committee meetings have to be carried out through modern platforms like Zoom and Skype. It has been difficult for some of us who have no computers and knowledge for this modern technology. The COVID-19 pandemic is worse with far-reaching effects and consequences, and Australia is now officially in an economic recession because of it. The whole world is in a very dire situation. This causes concern, fear and anxiety because of its highly infectious nature, even amongst believers. I asked this question in part one of this message last Lord's Day. How do we deal with the calamities that are upon us? What should be our attitude, and how do we deal and behave in the face of any calamity? Should we worry unnecessarily or panic? Should we react and behave like non-believers? To answer these questions, we turn to this message from Psalm 91, which I've entitled, Abide Under the Shadow of the Almighty. There are four main points from Psalm 91. Firstly, the psalmist's declaration in verses 1 and 2. Secondly, the psalmist's explanation of what God will do to those who are in close fellowship with him in verses 3 to 8. And thirdly, the psalmist's explanation of the conditions of God's protection of those in close fellowship with him in verses 9 to 12. And finally, the psalmist's revelation of God's promises for those in close fellowship with him, verses 14 to 16. I spoke on the first two main points last Lord's Day. To refresh your memory, I will summarize last week's message. In the first main point, the psalmist's declaration, we learned that in verse 1, anyone who sits calmly and peacefully in the shelter where God dwells shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is God's protection. In verse 2, the psalmist declares that for this protection, we must also proclaim that God is our refuge, our fortress, and our God, and in Him we will trust. In the second main point, the psalmist's explanation of what God will do to those who are in close fellowship with Him, verses 3 to 8, the psalmist lists the truths of what God will do for each person individually, that is, you and me. In verse 3, quoting Albert Barnes, quoting, God will save him from the purposes of wicked people, such purposes as might be compared with the devices employed to catch birds, unquote. Further, God will save those in close fellowship with him from the pestilence such as the plague, disease, virus, pandemic or epidemic that causes death. From verse 4, if we are in close fellowship with God and his Son, we will be protected like a mother hen, covering us with her feathers, giving us shelter and protection. Also, God will protect us by his truth, which is a shield and buckler like a soldier in protective armor. In verse 5a, God will protect us from the terror by night. The terror by night refers to terrible situations at night where there is fear or unease, like an unexpected and sudden attack, as in intrusions of enemies, fire, storms, murders, home invasion, or threats or sudden onset of disease or pestilence. He will also protect us, in verse 5b, from the arrow that flieth by day. The arrows of God refer to the judgment of God by pestilence, famine, and swords. For those who are in close fellowship with God and under his shadow of protection, they need not fear, and will become when God fires these arrows of judgment against the wicked and godless. In verse 6a, God will protect and deliver us from the pestilence that walketh in darkness, that is, from the threat that seems to creep in at night, and we cannot anticipate when or to whom it will affect, and we cannot monitor its development. God will also deliver us from, in 6b, the destruction that wasted at noonday, that is, from any major disasters that carry people away, whether it be tempest, warfare, pestilence, such as the plague or virus epidemic or famine. In verse 7, God will not only deliver or save us from dangers, but he will also protect us from our surroundings. We are safe because God has promised us of his divine protection. Apart from protecting and delivering his people, the psalmist reveals in verse 8 what God will do to those in close fellowship with him. That is, as a witness of what he will do to the wicked. Believers will witness or see with their own eyes the vengeance of God upon the ungodly wicked people. Now, I will continue with the last two main points. Firstly, the psalmist explanation of the conditions for God's protection of those in close fellowship with Him. Let us read together Psalm 91, verses 9 to 12. Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation, there shall no evil befall Thee, neither shall any plague come nigh Thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over Thee, to keep Thee in all Thy ways. They shall bear Thee up in their hands, lest Thou dash Thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Amen. This Psalm 91, promises believers in verse 1, He, that is you and me, that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. God promises protection for those who know, love, and trust God. That is, in close relationship or fellowship with Him. However, in verses 9 to 12, the psalmist gives us two conditions as to what this means. That is, to know, to love, and to trust God. Firstly, the condition in verse 9. Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation. Amen. Since, as believers, we have made the Lord God, the Most High, our refuge, the first condition is that we are to make God our habitation, that is, our dwelling. The idea is that we are to dwell with God. To make God our habitation means more than just believing in Him or go to Him when we are in danger, going through trials, or when we need His help. To make God our habitation or dwelling requires us to, firstly, have complete trust or faith in Him. Secondly, obey His commandments. Thirdly, continually rest on Him. And fourthly, commit everything we have on Him. What does this mean? What this means is that we are to live our whole life, firstly, in God, secondly, for God, and thirdly, with God. What does this entail? This means we need to love Him, God, with our whole mind, heart, and soul. We need to love Him deeply and everything about Him, not just superficially. We need to have complete trust or faith in Him without a hint of doubt. We need to obey His commandments, and that includes our involvement in worship, service, prayer meetings, Bible study, fellowshipping with other believers, and involvement in the Great Commission. We need to live a life that befits us as new creatures in Christ, to have the characteristics of the godly and not committing sins. We need to love and care for one another. We need to commit our problems and plans to Him. That is what close fellowship or relationship with God means. That is what it means to know, to love, and to trust God. Martin Luther explained it further. I'm quoting, "One who really dwells and does not merely appear to dwell, and does not just imagine that he dwells in God." Unquote. I'll repeat that again. A person who is in close fellowship with God is one who dwells, who really dwells, and does not merely appear to dwell, and does not just imagine that he dwells, unquote, in God. I would like to ask, do we really have our habitation or dwelling in God? Or do we just appear to be in habitation in God? Or do we just think we dwell in God? These are questions we must ask ourselves. If we truly are in close fellowship with God, we are promised in verse 10, "There shall no evil befall thee, Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Amen. We are promised safety, and no evil would harm us. Further, no plague will come on our dwelling. The plague in this verse does not necessarily mean pestilence, but it can also refer to any form of divine anger or anything that deserves punishment. The dwelling here means a tent. That means no evil or pestilence would abide with us or enter our home. I would like to share an account of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's experience. In 1854, a cholera epidemic affected the London area of Soho. Charles Spurgeon was a young preacher then, and he had only been in London for 12 months. Many people in his congregation were infected, and many died. Pastor Spurgeon spent most of his daily pastoral work visiting, praying, and comforting the sick, and accompanying many families to the graveyard. With the demands on him, he was physically and emotionally exhausted. He was about to collapse and ready to sink. One day, as he was returning from a funeral service, walking on Dover Road, he noticed a sign in the shoemaker's shop, written in the shop owner's handwriting. The words were these: "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." It was a quotation from Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10. Those words, those two verses, had a great and immediate impact on the young pastor Spurgeon. He was revived and encouraged. He wrote these words later, quoting, "The effect upon my heart was immediate. Faith appropriated the passage as her own. I felt secure, refreshed, good with immortality. I went on with my visitation of the dying in a calm and peaceful spirit. I felt no fear of evil, and I suffered no harm. The providence which moved the tradesman to put those verses in his window, I gratefully acknowledge. And in the remembrance of its marvelous power, I adore the Lord my God." Unquote. Can we trust God like Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Can we dwell in the Lord and believe on His promises? With the appalling situation we are in now, can we use this wonderful opportunity to know, to love, and to trust God, instead of worrying unreasonably or fearing as to what would happen to us? Charles Haddon Spurgeon reminded us, I'm quoting, "Fear is a denier of his faith and a fruitful source of distress to the soul," unquote. When we make God our habitation, no evil or plague or pestilence would abide with us or enter our home. We will have no fear. Hence, secondly, in addition, we are protected by God's angels. Verses 11 to 12. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Amen. The second condition in these two verses is a reference to angels. It is actually related to the first condition, but reinforces it. Satan quoted these verses when he tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. They are the only verses of the Bible that the devil actually quoted, but it was misquoted. The devil left out the words, "in all thy ways." The devil tested the Lord Jesus by asking him, firstly, to jump off a pinnacle of the temple, Matthew chapter 4 verse 5 and Luke chapter 4 verse 9. And secondly, to trust his Father to send angels to bear him up so that he would not be dashed to pieces when he fell. The Lord's response to the devil is this, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. It is written again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." This is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16a. The Lord Jesus would be testing God if he had jumped off a pinnacle of the temple, as urged on by the devil. This would not be according to God's way. The Lord Jesus rejected Satan's temptation. He trusted his Father rather than trusting the angels. The angels were actually there, but invisibly, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. The consequence was Satan's defeat. When the devil quoted scripture, he's also left out verse 13, which reads, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample up under feet." Amen. That verse describes Satan's defeat. And God will help us to overcome Satan and his deceits. What does this mean for us when we make God our habitation? This means no evil or plague or pestilence would abide with us or enter our home. Secondly, the angels will protect us. And thirdly, we will tread upon the lion and adder, which is the cobra, and we will also trample under feet the young lion and the dragon. In other words, we will defeat Satan. Satan is described in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 20, verse 2, the great dragon, that old serpent. Satan is a formidable but defeated enemy. We have to watch out, but we must remember that the Lord Jesus defeated him by trusting God. Therefore, the godly and righteous in Christ Jesus will triumph and be victorious over Satan as well. We now come to the final main point. The psalmist's revelation of God's promises for those in close fellowship with him. Now let us read Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16 together. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he had known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. In these last three verses, note that there is a change in pronoun to I. The I is God himself. In these verses, God confirms what the psalmist has been saying in the preceding verses. However, God also promises those who are in close fellowship with him, that is, love, know, and trust him, these three things. Firstly, God will protect the individual in danger. Verse 14. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he had known my name." Amen. God promises that because we know, love, and trust, because we love, know, and trust God, he will deliver or rescue and protect us from and above all dangers, and he will set us on high because we had known his name. When we have a close relationship or fellowship with God, we know who he is, what he is to us, and what we are to him and his name. He will set us above all danger, a danger, danger or fear. He will smile on us. Is not this wonderful? That God has elevated those who have an intimate relationship with Him on high? Of course, when we climb higher on our own, it may be dangerous. But if God does lift us up there, then it is surely glorious. The people who have loved, knew and trusted God are aware of this, and they praise God continually for His help and protection from all dangers. Do we? Do we completely know, love and trust God? Do we know His name? Are we really, really in close relationship with Him? If we do, this promise of God is for us. And secondly, God will answer the individual in trouble and who prays to God about it. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Amen. The great thing is that the person who completely loves, knows and trusts God is blessed. When such a person calls on God, God will hear and answer him. God also says, I will be with him in trouble. That means that God is there when a person is in trouble. This does not necessarily mean God will get him out of trouble. There are occasions when it is His will that a person endures the troubles and learn and profit from these experiences. Romans chapter 5 verses 3 to 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Amen. As believers in Christ, we develop patience from trials. This patience leads to experience, and with experience, we learn to have hope. When we go through stressful and dangerous situations, God is with us. He goes through them with us. He sustains us in our sufferings. God will also deliver and honor him. How would God do that? Quoting from Albert Barnes, quoting, he means God here, I will not only rescue him from danger, but I will exalt him to honor. I will recognize him as my friend and will regard and treat him as such. On earth, he shall be treated as my friend. In another world, he shall be exalted to honor among the redeemed and become the associate of holy beings forever. Unquote. What a great honor God that will bless us with. Finally, for those who love, know and trust God in close fellowship with Him, God will satisfy the individual with long life and salvation. Verse 16. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Amen. In the Old Testament, long life is mentioned in many verses. Exodus chapter 20 verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 20, Psalm 20 verse 21 verse 4 and 23 verse 6, and Proverbs chapter 3 verses 2 and 16. Now let's go back to Psalm 91 verse 16a. With long life will I satisfy him. This means that God will lengthen his life, as Albert Barnes put it, as he desires or until he is satisfied with life. Does long life refer to longevity? It is our fleshy nature to desire long life. It is actually a blessing often promised to the righteous. With this long life, there will come a time when we will be satisfied with living. When that day comes, we will not desire to live longer. When our loved one, such as a spouse, has gone home, and children have left home, or when we are suffering from frailties and sickness of old age, including dementia or paralysis from a stroke, living alone and feeling lonely, living in a nursing home, with all our friends gone, our earthly mission accomplished, and knowing that there is a far better place to go, we will want to leave this world to be with God. We will know that our time is up. We will look to that day of no pain, no loneliness, no sadness, no suffering, no tears, but peace and joy in the loving arms of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, this promise of long life does not necessarily mean a prolongation of days, but a complete or fulfilled life. God will satisfy those of us who love, know, and trust Him with such long life. Further, after we are satisfied with our early life, we are promised salvation in heaven, which is yet to come. Verse 16b reads, "And show him my salvation." God will show the believer who has a close fellowship with him his salvation. As believers now, we see and experience God's salvation. However, when we go home, we will take on the likeness of our Lord, see Him face to face, and see this salvation in full bloom. This is a promise that God gives and goes past the grave. Our faith in the Lord Jesus not only blesses us in this life, but also in the life hereafter. A wonderful and bright future for us. These three verses 14 to 16, are promises for those who are in close fellowship with God. Many declare that they believed in the Lord, but miss out on these special blessings. Why? This is because they are always worrying, fussing, and agonizing over things unnecessarily, and do not really know, love, and trust Him. God says that this, as I quote James Montgomery Boyce, quoting, "Blessings are for those who love God and acknowledge His name," as in verse 14, "call upon Him," in verse 15, "and seek satisfaction in what He can provide," unquote. There are many frightening events happening around us. We have seen an increased frequency of destructive earthquakes, cyclones, bushfires, floods, famines, wars, poverty, greed, corruption, and criminal activities. We have seen changes in our weather patterns, an increased frequency of pestilences and plagues. We have seen our churches infiltrated and divided by false teachings and teachers. Increasing numbers are leaving the true God for false religions. We have no control over all these occurrences. We live in the end times. Many people, including believers, are anxious, worried, fearful, and under duress. Believers' faith is tested. While it is a distressing time, and we are right to be anxious about it, we must not be overly anxious and fearful like the non-believers. We must not forget that we have a true and living God who has asked us to have faith in Him. Our God is sovereign, the Almighty One, and He has control over all the things He had created. God ordains our time on earth. He has already fixed our time of birth and death. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 tells us that He has the keys of hell and death. So, if we are to suffer any ill effects, if we are not to suffer any ill effects or die from any calamities, that means our time has not come. When we are fearful, when we face difficulties and the unknown, let us not turn to the idols of this world, but let us seek comfort and help in the Word of God in Psalm 91. In this psalm, the psalmist teaches us to declare our confession and faith in God, and to take note of what God will do for us when we trust Him. He will surely protect and deliver us from danger. Then we must remember the conditions we must accept for God's protection from danger. That is, we are to love, to know, and to trust Him, all in close fellowship with Him. When we love, know, and trust God, there will be promises of deliverances and help for us when we are in danger. Do we love, know, and trust God? Are we seeking the Lord when we are faced with danger, and especially in the current pandemic? Do we call upon Him and seek satisfaction in what He alone can provide, or do we seek satisfaction from this world? The world is not going to help us, I can assure you that. These are the questions we have to ask ourselves when we are faced with difficulties and dangers. Remember, there's no one we can trust. Only God can be trusted. May God bless you all. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we live in unstable times. At the moment we are faced with this COVID-19 pandemic, which has caused many deaths, we are fearful, anxious by this infectious virus. We are helpless and we seek Thy help. Lord, be merciful to us and help us to overcome this fear and anxiety. Guide us to love Thee, to know Thee, and to trust Thee, that we may have a close relationship with Thee. May Thou protect us from this virus pandemic, from the ungodly, and from the evil one. Help us, Lord, to overcome our fear and anxiety by listening to Thy word in Psalm 91. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.